And as we look at God's word, if you wanted to turn to James 5, you can do. How do you get on with waiting for things? You love it? You love waiting? Really? You do surprise me. We've just recently, I have to blame my wife, she's not here. My wife lost her credit card, and we've been waiting for a new credit card to arrive. And we were waiting patiently, knocking at the door. It wasn't coming, and it took quite a while. Well, the cards have come, but we've got no PIN numbers. So we're still waiting. But on Friday, we had to... We've been trying to wait to book a holiday away. We've got it done now. It's okay. We had to wait because our daughter, Lynette was responsible as well. She's going to work in Canada for 2 years. Well, possibly longer, but we don't know that. And she was waiting for her work visa to come through. They're very particular in Canada about letting foreign employees come in. So we were having to wait for that. So we've got the date. She's moving the end of May. And so end of June, we're going away. But we decided on Thursday, I finished fairly early what I was doing, and we shot into town, into Southend, to go and book a holiday if we could. So we went through all the procedure, we got what we wanted, and then we came to pay the bill. Because it's a short period of time, we had to pay the whole amount, which was fine. So we thought, oh, that's all right. Lynette said, we'll use our other credit card. We don't use that very often at all. So she pulled out the card, put it into the machine, declined. Put it in again. Declined. No. Then I thought, oh, no, it's all right. I'll use my business card, my business credit card. And then I had forgotten that we'd put a limit on that, and that declined. So that's all right. We'll switch it and put the money into the bank account from another holiday account. So we put that in. Declined. This is 5:15 on Thursday evening. Thursday evening. And what can we do? We can't go to the bank and get money. You can't get not that much money out on your card, can you? They don't let you, fortunately. So we couldn't pay for the holiday. So I said, well, it'll be safe anyway. We'll come and pay for it, or we'll phone you in the morning when we've transferred the money. Da-da. She said, well, I can't actually keep it. So you've got to hope that it won't get bought up because there was only one place left. We were patient. Not. Anxious. A bit like King Darius with Daniel in the Den of Lions. You know, he's pacing around all night. Well, we weren't quite pacing around all night. But anyway, we had to wait. It was so frustrating having to wait. Anyway, good came out of it in the end because when I phoned up at 9 o'clock in the morning to pay the money across, on the internet, it had gone down by £300. Yes! Result. So I said this to the lady in the shop. She says, that's fine. We'll match it. Great. So we did. So it's all safe. But the waiting... Isn't it a pain in the neck? Oh. But there are simpler times when we have to wait, aren't there? Petrol pump queues. You've got somebody in front, you know they've filled up, they've been and paid, and they're sitting in the car, they're fussing around, putting belts on, they're putting bills away, and thinking, I need to go! Move! Impatience. Supermarket queues. Don't you just love them? Lidl's. That's the place for a supermarket queue if you want one. Till number 5 is now closing. We are happy to serve you at till number 2. Okay, so now... What are your conversations like in those supermarket queues? Are they one of... My goodness me. Is it taking so long? Are they get? Mind you, Lidl's are quite quick, really, aren't they? But patience. The Lord was talking to me about that. And then I began to think about other situations in Scripture where it was difficult for people to wait. Lazarus's family. They're waiting. How many days did Jesus stay extra? He stayed days longer. When's he coming? When's he going to do something? Lazarus is so ill. And then he dies. And then Jesus turns up. He's been in the tomb for days. How do they feel when they're waiting? Or the family of Jairus. You know, when the daughter was ill, and they're waiting for Jesus. Oh, we need to hurry up. But what about your own lives? Are there things in your own lives that you're saying to God, God, I really need you to do something here. When are you going to do it? When are you going to answer my prayer? My gran had the promise of God that my granddad would give his life to Jesus. She prayed for him. Do you know how long she prayed for him? 43 years. She never gave up once. And I never heard my gran ever complain in those years. And then 2 years before he died, he came to know Jesus. Answered prayer. But the patience in that. But when we think about patience, we often think about it in terms of being patient with other people, don't we? Really? But you know what? If we are going to move on in God, if you as a church are going to move forward as a people, in this time of pastoral vacancy, you're going to need to be patient. For God to do his own thing in you and with you, so that he might be ready to bring in your new leader, whoever that might be. There are 3 things. You'd expect that from a Spurgeon student, wouldn't you? Actually, if you really knew me, you'd probably know that I don't really usually go necessarily for 3 points. But on this occasion, there are 3 things, three things that we need to keep in mind and be aware of as we wait for the Lord. The psalmist had to wait. But the rejoicing was, I waited for the Lord, and he heard my cry, and he lifted me out and put my feet on a rock, gave me a firm place to stand. Well, the first of those 3 things that you need to remember is to be patient with you. To be patient with ourself. What do you mean? How many times have you said to yourself, how many times will this happen and I don't learn? A lot, don't we really, if we're honest? Do you know what? I've never grown. I wish I would. I'm waiting to grow. I'll never learn. We become impatient with ourselves. House repairs. There, we learn to be patient with ourselves when we're doing things and when we make a muck up. What's important is for us to keep our eyes fixed, our hearts fixed on where we're going. It's not about what is happening just in the immediate, necessarily. Not, I don't mean that it's not important. But if we are going to wait patiently and see God, we need to keep our focus not just on here, but more on the goal of where we're going. So therefore, we need to watch our hearts. We have to keep our hearts pure, keep our hearts right with God, so that in the waiting time, we can be fixed in our hearts. Do you remember Jesus? Well, you're older than you look. In Luke chapter 9, in verse 51, it says this: as the time approached for him to be taken up into heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He was focusing actually on his death and what was going to happen. To be buried, but to rise. His focus was where he was going to at every moment. Not just, he didn't not care about what was going around. And if we are going to go forward with God, then we've got to watch ourselves, watch our hearts, and be patient with ourselves. God hasn't finished with you yet. Thank the Lord, eh? He hasn't finished with me, I'm glad to say. I should walk around with L plates on, really. Be patient with ourselves. Watch your focus. Whatever you do in life, your heart needs to be the center set towards Jesus. And then everything else will fall into their proper place, in their proper time. And secondly, this is the tough bit, really. Don't grumble against each other, brothers and sisters, or you'll be judged. Be patient with each other. Watch, therefore, not just your heart, but watch your fellowship. That's so vital if we're going to move forward. Oh, we don't grumble, do we? I need glasses. We do. We grumble. But you know what? It's not necessarily that we grumble outwardly to each other or about each other, but we do it inside, in our hearts, quietly. And do you know what that does? It kind of injects poison into our hearts as we grumble. I know we don't want to grumble. Oh, but I wish he wouldn't do that. I wish she wouldn't do that. You know, she drives me up the wall every time she does that. And the thing is, we grumble here quietly. And we think to ourselves, we don't say it necessarily, but we think to ourselves, it's all right. I'm only letting off steam here inside. Nobody knows about it. Nobody hears it. Wrong. God hears it. Your Heavenly Father hears you speaking about one of his children in a negative way. Ooh. Brings it home, doesn't it, really? How does God feel about somebody speaking negatively about me? Well, I hope he gets cross inside. I hope he feels the pain of it. I hope you see that he cares for me. Therefore, we, if our hope, our hearts are fixed on Jesus, who is the beginning and the end of everything, then for him, we don't grumble. Now, it's a tall order. It's a tall order. Because we are in our brokenness, in our humanity, we tend to fall down. But don't stay falling down. Let Jesus lift you back up. Confess it. I had a very practical step, really. When you think and start to want to grumble about somebody else, stop. What can you do? Count the positive things about that person. Check them out. And then, Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for that about this person. Do you know what? I tell you, by experience, you'll be amazed at what that does inside your heart. And how differently you will begin to view other people. Don't grumble about other people. One of my favourite stories and films, I guess, really, is The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. Yeah, you're all familiar with that, aren't you? And I love one particular... Well, I love lots of places, but one particular part in the film where Aslan is having a conversation with the beaver. And the beaver's getting all hot under the collar because of something else that he can't control. And Aslan looks to him and he says, "Peace, beaver." And I love it. "Peace, beaver." And if only we could hear God say to us, when we're starting to grumble about some other person, "Peace. Peace. Don't grumble." The other thing, too, a very practical thing to do. Now, you see, I've come to you. You know, he's Pete, isn't it? Yeah. Pete's driven me mad. You know what? Honestly, I came in here this morning and he came badgering me. It was terrible, it was, honestly. Now, what should you do? Yeah, okay, that's helpful. No, it's helpful. It's felt very helpful. But if I was saying something really nasty about him, do you know what? He's been stealing. What are you going to do? Well, I'll tell you a practical way that you can do. Does Pete know that you're saying that? Hmm. Not really, he doesn't. I don't want to upset him. It's not about upsetting him. Does he know? No. Okay, I'm giving you 24 hours or 48 hours or a week to go and tell him what you've just told me. I'll tell you what, if I don't go in a week within that time frame and tell him that I've just told somebody you're stealing, you're going to go and tell him. Now, that's a bit dramatic, but you know what? If we had that kind of attitude, it would help prevent gossiping and grumbling. And you see, for me, gossiping and grumbling is like a cancer inside the church. You see, the church has struggled over the years, and in the churches in the East, in China, they struggle with oppression and violence from outside, yeah? But the church in the West often suffers and disintegrates because of the cancer of backbiting and gossiping inside the church. And James says, don't grumble against each other. Because if you do, you're going to be judged. Now, if we really took that seriously, then our church would be New Testament. And what did the New Testament people, or people in the New Testament times, say about the church? What was their one predominant response to them? See how they love one another. Now look, it's not rocket science, but imagine Holbridge, South Woodham, Essex, and people saying, whoa, see how that church loves each other. I tell you what, it'd be dynamite. And people will come and want to know what it is that gives you that love. See, be focusing. Watch our hearts. Make sure our hearts are focused. Be patient with each other. Watch our fellowship. Especially in this time of pastoral vacancy. Don't grumble, but pull together. And use the time that you have to go forward. There was a farmer. I'm just telling you this to wake you up a bit. This farmer, he was fed up with his mule. His mule wouldn't do it as it was told. It's a mule. He got so fed up and cross and angry that he threw it down the well. How cruel. I know it's cruel. I know. I didn't know the farmer particularly personally. It's only a story. It's all right. Well, this mule, he was really up to his ears in it. He was having all sorts of muck thrown to bury him in this well, you see. And then suddenly the thought struck the mule. He started to stand on the muck. And the more muck that was thrown down, the further up the well he got, and he got out. Why do I say that? The more we stop grumbling and use the opportunities that are in front of us, the higher up we'll get. We'll overcome the difficulties that we face. But above all, be patient with God. How many of us have berated God because he hasn't done something? My gran never berated God because of my granddad. simply waited for him. She was patient with him. But God hasn't fulfilled this yet. Why? Well, why do I always have the dirty jobs to do in church? Why don't I get the opportunity to be at the front and do something and have all the applause? Do you ever think that? There are people in churches that do, trust me. Be patient with God. Keep your focus on him. I met one day a Bollywood star, a film star. Well, he was a Bollywood film star, and he had to come out of it. He refused, in Indian filmmaking, often, before, at the beginning of the day, they have to do the Hindu prayer rituals. And he refused, because he was a believer, he refused to do it. And he didn't get part. He ended up on the street. He ended up with a job cleaning toilets. And he started to berate God. God, I'm your child. And here I am, I'm cleaning stinking toilets. And if you've been... No, let's not go there. And then the thought suddenly struck him. I've got to be patient because God is doing his thing in his way at his time. Not mine. So you know what he decided to do? He decided inside himself that he was going to have the cleanest toilets around town. And that's what he did. Do you know what happened? People realized that these were the clean toilets to go to. Whoa, I'm going there. And what he did was began sharing his faith. And it went on to become the foundation of an evangelistic ministry. You see, he had to be prepared to wait for God and be patient that God would work out his plan for his life. And he did. Even in the crap. And it doesn't matter what we're going through. God understands it. Of course he does. He has a heart. And he feels for us. But be patient with God. He hasn't finished yet. And if you're struggling with some issue or some situation where God, you need God, don't lose patience with him. He knows where you're at, and he cares where you're at. And he wants to bring about his purpose in his way, in his time. God will work it out. Don't allow yourselves to be sucked in to be saying, why me, God? Instead, think, why not me, God? What gives me the right to think that I'm unique? Good things happen to good and bad people. And bad things also happen to good and bad people. But God is at work in you. See, just like the farmer had to be patient, waiting for his crops to produce, he can't go and dig up and see how the seeds are going. He has to wait patiently and for that valuable crop to come. He has to stand firm. He mustn't grumble. Ooh, we mustn't. finally, we must wait on God. And God, in his own time, will fulfill everything that he said he will with you. Come, Lord Jesus. Give us that patience. And beware. Don't say to God, Lord, I need more patience. No, you don't. You just need more of Jesus to be patient in you. That's different. So be patient, and the rewards will come. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be so focused in our hearts that we will not grumble against each other or against you, but we will wait for you. And we will rejoice in you, even in the waiting. Help us, Lord. Amen. I came across the words of this little song. Well, it's not a little song. It's a hill song. Anybody know Oceans Where Feet May Fail? Have you come across that one? It's brilliant, isn't it? The words really struck me. You call me out of the waters, the great unknown where feet may fail. And there I find, in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I call upon your name, keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine. Your grace abounds in deepest waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed. And you won't start